and welcome to Play by Play. I'm BT Oz, and this is a game I'm playing with Michael Lucas and Daniel Quick. Of course, Imran Siddiqui couldn't join us. He was too scared of my superior gameplay, and he ran off in the other direction, so I'm quite pleased about that. Unfortunately, Mackie couldn't be with us today. She had another appointment. That's okay. She's excused. Imran, you're not, mate. But we're waiting for you to come on next time, so I can kick your f***ing butt. Anyway, well, let's get into the game now. And I think the game's just about to start. I've chosen Wang Kon, because this is the BTS Beyond the Sword. This looks good, this gameplay.
Dan Quick here, Dan Q on the forums, starting as Darius the First. I know we're just against all humans here, but does have in-game implications.
I've actually got an elephant right through the forest, the other side.
Homestead is on a hill. A few hills, a big fat cross, on a lake, actually, some rivers, some nice floodplains, a little bit of forest, not much, only visible resource, cow, which will also be in the big fat cross. Ooh, hot next turn.
I'm not going to leave anything to chance. I'm building the warrior before I work up, and I'm doing animal husbandry first. I really should be so paranoid, but I might be able to do a horse rush if I find it.
A technology. Animal husbandry, nice. In the hut, and I know that I have horse. My big fat cross on an expanse, it's excellent.
You have discovered sailing.
Got sailing from a hut.
Oh, I've met Michael.
I've met Dan.
He's going to find out where I am, or I have a chance to find out where he is.
I've not found him yet. To scatter around his territory, find out what resources he's going to have. And I don't have any horse. Oh, I don't know yet, do I? Ah, now I found Dan.
You have discovered animal husbandry.
I have horse, but it's outside my territory. It's annoying. Well, there's some deer there, bunch of mountains, so I guess I could build a city that's going to get horse, deer, mountains. Hills, I should say. Could be okay.
Little warrior down there with his big stick. Yes, just to investigate that area, but I'm certain I'm on my own little island. Bit like Gilligan's Island, really. It's nice and no other people there, and it's quite very, very groovy. Yes, no one on that side. Let's send him up to the north of the forest and just have a look.
Dan's got horse in his fat cross. That's a little bit annoying.
Now, it's asked us, do we want to implement slavery? Of course, whipping good.
No bronze in my fat cross, but I do know where some is.
Oh, Dan's found me. It's a shame the lion didn't kill him. He's low on health, so he looks like he had a fight with the lion.
Well, Michael can have horse, shortly. Michael has bronze to his north, anyway.
And I'm lucky I've actually got some copper, which is right near my elephants.
Dan has slavery. I've actually got some ivory. That's interesting. That gives me an idea of where I want to put my cities. That means the northern deer horse city is on, and a southern elephant cow stone city on top of a hill is also on. And I'm sure Dan realizes that I have ivory now, and he'll be worried about that.
You have discovered bronze working.
Okay, bronze is going to be captured by my northern city, so my northern city should come before my southern city. Dan's bronze is actually closer to my southern city, so maybe I should do my southern city first, but no. I'll do my northern. BT must be on the other side of the island. The west side, probably. So I'm going to head over there as soon as I've finished exploring the rest of my southern section. But I'll probably have a city to the west as well. I'll set up four cities, if I can. It's fairly unassuming four cities, too. I'm not trying to encroach on anybody's territory in particular. Could become a bit cozy with Dan there, though. Given Dan's got that horse, and he actually has immortals, I think my goal should be to get Spearman as soon as possible.
Okay, it's asked me, do I want to found a new religion? Well, I guess, again, it's a very touchy subject. I shall go for, I don't know, Hinduism.
Someone just founded a religion. Guess we'll find out next turn who. If it's Dan, I'll know. If it's BT, then it's not Dan, therefore I know.
Hindu has been founded. It's probably John. Yep.
Okay, my next research for myself. I'm not worrying about ironworking at the moment, but I'm going to go for priesthood. The reason I'm going for priesthood is one major advantage is that it gives you a chance to build the oracle.
You have discovered the wheel.
Time for me to get archery. In case Dan decides that war is a good thing, but hopefully he's scared.
I'm going for horseback riding, have the pasture hooked up. Warrior, where I want my second and my third city. Third city could get this nice ivory.
And I can see Michael Lucas Smith outline of his border. I've sent my warrior over to have a little bit of a look-see. Yes, he's basically to the northeast of me, so that's okay.
Aha, that's BT. He is definitely to the west, and hopefully he won't just randomly declare war. But I'm smack in the middle of everything. Dan has a lot of room to maneuver in, except he has to maneuver towards me to get his bronze. I don't know how much room BT has. He could have a big chunk of island for all I know.
And there's Michael Lucas the Smith. There's his little scouts up on the hill watching our little village. Now, if I'd been a good gamer or a naughty gamer, I could have got my warrior now and killed his scout. But I'm not doing that, so that's okay. It's no big deal.
It is borders just grew. He must have the religion. He does, he's Hindu. Okay. That could be an interesting force to be reckoned with. If I am going to go settle over to be on the west side, I'm going to have to do it on top of a hill.
Okay, I just saw Michael settle his second city. He'll get horse and copper from that. We'll be able to have immortals because I'm Persians, but I must have that ivory.
I need to grow the borders of my second city, which I just settled. Just take 10 turns to get both the bronze and horse and deer. It's not the best situation to be in.
Okay, I'm going to research now some iron working. So find out got some iron around the place.
You have discovered mysticism.
Try and get meditation, which should put a religion in an undefined object, which will give it the culture it needs. That takes 6 turns. Meanwhile, a monument will take 30. So if I do decide to build a monument in 6 turns, if I fail to get the religion, then I'll have to chop some trees to do it.
And there goes Michael Lucas the Smith. His scout is leaving now, so bye-bye. Don't come back for a while.
I think I'll hook up the bronze first, because that'll give me a fill as well. So I can see most of what's happening with BT across the water. I don't know much about Dan, so I'm going to have to move my scout out to start taking a look at what he's doing. Alright, that should give him something to think about.
Well, since I'm cut off from exploring, I'll use my scout to situate itself to the north of Wii. Watch for Michael's expansion.
You have discovered mutation.
Next turn I'll know if it gives me the culture I desired. It worked. Cool.
Buddhism has been founded. I'm going to guess that was Michael. Yep. Let's see if I can get the third one.
Now, we have a lot of more things. I might create a new settler now for growth.
I see Dan's settled towards his bronze and has the bronze hooked up. Let's get some food for my second city.
That's absolutely amazing. But for some weird reason, our village, the iron is actually found inside the village, underneath the ground. So that's very interesting.
And the first immortal appears. I can get a spin in 10 turns, but I think I better chop some trees. However, I need to get the horse.
You have discovered masonry.
And I've sent out another settler, and we're going to settle him to the north of my village.
I'll have two spearmen and an archer on a hill city shortly, so I think I'll be okay. What he really wants to do, I guess, is stop me from hooking up the ivory, but I don't need the ivory for a while now. Well, for a while yet. So he's kind of flawed in his plan there, and I've just kicked him out of my borders too. So I'm going to build a wall and set, because it's clearly a city that's going to be under siege. I'll have cow and stone for it, and eventually the ivory. I guess that means there's no ivory for Dan. There might be ivory for BT. Hopefully Dan's low score is indicative of lots of whipping to get all these immortals. He has two. I expect more. But with double promoted combat 2 level spearmen, I might be able to fend him off. I think they're good against axemen, but they're not good against spearmen, even with shock.
Now, I'm trying for the pyramid in my second city, but chances of me getting it very quickly is going to be very slim, because I believe that Michael Lucas Smith might already be researching that particular tech. So.
His immortals have run away? No, his troops have left entirely.
Greetings, neighbor.
Yes, neighbor.
Shall there be peace between our lands?
I should certainly hope so, though you've been doing a bit of muscle flexing and posturing along my borders for a while now. It's a little bit annoying. I'm pleased that you moved your troops away.
Yes, that was out of initial concern of possible actions on your part, but now we are not so concerned, so we have... How shall I phrase this? We have acted accordingly to demonstrate that we no longer feel the need to have that amass of arms at our borders, or should I say, at your borders.
Well, I should hope so. Farewell.
Farewell.
Level 2 combat have said otherwise. So, what do you think he's doing, huh? I can keep up with his immortals if I get horseback riding. But I'm going to go for the ability to spread my religion a little bit more.
You have discovered iron working.
Ooh, iron is right on top of my second city. Wow. I'm armed to the teeth. It appears Dan does not currently have a third city. Can't be too far away. He's going for the iron, clearly, and probably the gold. He's probably just figured out where that is, unless he settles right in the smack dab middle here, which is crazy, in which case he's asking for war. Oh, he did. He settled right smack dab in the middle here. Really weird, because he's missed the rice with both of his cities. I guess his intent is to cut me off from the rest of his island.
It's pretty interesting.
I've got BT on the other side. Because I could go beat up on BT.
Iron working in 4 turns.
How's my military going compared to Dan's now? Power? Oh, higher. By how much? 13,000 points. Doesn't look like Dan's got iron hooked up yet. I don't know about BT. Maybe I should build the It's a Chicken get that extra defensive bonus. Most of the war is going to take place in this sort of medieval period, which means I will get a fair bit of use out of it.
You have discovered monotheism.
Horseback riding, so I can compete with Dan with the horses. Get their stables, which will eventually be useful for the ivory. But he's going to have some trouble with this, because he's not very optimal with his spacing of the cities. Dan is trying to contact me again. He wants open borders. I've given it to him. That's a reasonable step towards peace, I would have to say.
Really advantageous for me to be able to not just only search Michael's territory, but to actually get to the other side of the continent.
This way he meets BT. Interesting. My score is soaring ahead for some reason. Don't know entirely why. Could be population. I suppose I can check that. Demographics. Population. No, I'm second. Here comes his settler, so that'll be his fourth city. Maybe I should think about a fourth city.
And I have found John. Hello.
And here's a scout of Daniel Quick. He's come sticky-nosing around. Ah, yes, okay. Dan Q is wanting to contact me.
Let's go to John. We offer open borders as a sign of friendship.
And he says, "Greetings, distant neighbor." Very cordially, I said, "Hello." They want open borders as a sign of friendship. Well, why not?
If I was John, I would not accept this because he's not in a position at the moment to search my borders, but I am his, but he has accepted. Wouldn't have accepted quite right away, especially since I can't reach him.
We'll say okay to that, so that's fine. For the time being. Later on, go back and destroy. Crush. Kill. Destroy. For those listening going, trembling with fear. Yes, it's okay to make friends earlier on the game, and later on, crush, kill, destroy. Nothing wrong with that. It's quite healthy in gameplay.
Second hour.
Hello?
Hello?
What's up?
How are you?
I'm not too bad. I've got a vicious and untrustworthy neighbour, but things are going okay.
Yes, he asked me for open borders. So for the moment I said yes, but I can turn them down at any time. I'm wondering if we can go allies.
Well, we can't even open borders yet, so...
We'll open some borders for a while.
Well, we can't. I don't have writing. You don't have writing.
I'm researching writing at the moment.
Mm-hmm, but you don't have it.
No, not yet, so that's all right. Not to worry.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment. Keep in touch.
Okay, I will. All right. That was Michael Lucas-Smith calling me, and quite interesting. Although if Imran Siddiqui comes knocking at your door, he'd be wanting to sing all day, sing songs.
Michael has got the Great Wall. Oh, wow.
I've just observed, it's good to look around at your neighbours, see what your neighbours are doing. Michael Lucas-Smith has built the Great Wall to keep the barbarians out, i.e. Daniel Quick.
Looks like John has two cities.
At the moment, I've really only got two towns, two villages. And I try to expand to a third to my northwest, but I may not be able to do that. So, unfortunately, Michael Lucas-Smith deliberately stuck a town right up near, close on my borders, and of course they've taken away my mine.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to spread my religion to my neighbors in the hopes that they will adopt it. And John has founded a second religion. Okay.
Got to get a bunch of monasteries over the next 3 turns. Should boost my science a little bit. And I'm hooking up the ivory. Every extra little bit of science is going to help. And culture. It's going to be a bit of a culture squeeze, me being in the middle of two other civilizations. It's good that I got to Stonehenge when I did. Plus a religion, which I'm now going to pimp. It would be nice to have theocracy, but I simply do not have it. Probably mathematics will head me towards construction. I'll be able to build the war elephants.
Right, I'm going to hurry the Temple of Artemis now, because I've got a big city of 7, so we don't mind to lose a few people to that.
I built the Temple of Artemis. I need to find out who that was. Every wonder matters. Korea. Dan got another religion. It's interesting. A war and BT might antagonize Dan to take a drastic move and attack me. Should BT's detriment. I might open borders with BT now.
Hello.
Hi. We would like to open borders with you, but under one condition, you're not allowed to spread your religion into our territory.
So, oh, you mean to send the little missionaries?
Yeah, don't do it, otherwise we'll have to close borders with you. I just closed borders with Dan because he tried to do that.
Oh, he did he?
So, that's our position, I hope you can respect that.
Well, I haven't got any, I'm not building any missionaries at the moment.
Good. So, you want to open borders then?
Why not? That sounds a lot of fun. No, we'll send out no religion missionaries, so...
I gotta say, I don't really trust this Dan guy. He moved a bunch of military units in the early years near where I was going to build.
Also, noticing your town of class, he's already expanded into my territory.
Yes, well, you know, it's 94% my territory, apparently.
Jeez.
I know, we'll try not to do that, but these things do happen.
Well, isn't that nice? Daniel Quick's little scouts are trapped. They can't move because Michael Lucas Smith has closed the border.
Well, that's interesting. I can dictate better terms with BT than I can Dan. I think it's because Dan feels he can demand something from me because of his military position. Speaking of military position, let's have a look. I'm still above him by 38,000 points, and building some more walls, getting some stables into my two front cities against Dan. I have to think of it like that. It's no other safe way to think of it.
Better get Chichen Itza. Try to, anyway.
What if my military power changed because I've now got a stable? Dan's power's going up exponentially right now. He's clearly building up for something. And again, I'm expecting war with him. Now, I open borders with BT, I have a chariot nearby, time to go take a look. Now, what's inside?
Yes, so I got Michael Lucas Smith, because of our open borders, who was able to bring in a chariot, and so it looks like we're going for an alliance, which is pretty good.
BT has ivory. That means Dan's the only one who doesn't have ivory. Interesting. And there is BT's bronze. Oh, he does have horses to the very south. Like I thought, he's not really utilizing the space he's got. It's good for me. Well, what's Dan doing with his power? Seems to have flattened out. And BT has an axeman. I'm going to go up north and see what he's done up there. Dan can see what's going on up there too. That's interesting.
Now, I've just expanded to another town.
And now I can build war elephants.
Turn 125, 250 AD. Michael's in the lead, 1,349. I'm 1,069. John is at 720. Michael has the largest military of the second largest military. John is in last in that respect. John's culture is ahead of everyone's. Michael's in the middle. I'm at the bottom. Espionage, we're all pretty neck and neck.
So I'm a monarchy now, but these guys are still despots. They both have slavery. BT has theocracy, Dan's on organized religion, like me. From that, so, that's a good thing to see. Dan's going for a fifth city, up to the very north, in the ice. I guess he wants the fish and the fur. Well, here we go. I see a swordsman from Dan. So he's been building swordsmen. Should be no match for my war elephants. Got a galley from BT. That's interesting. Gameplay-wise, you meant to stomp the small guy. Which means stomping BT would be very easy to stomp.
More turns to Chichen Itza. I'll feel much more comfortable. I get that.
How's that military look? Power. Oh yeah, just shut up. I'm almost double Dan's power now. I'm definitely double BT's. If he had any sense, he would have fought a preemptive war. But he did not.
And we have found Daniel Quick's home. It's not one of them, so we'll tell you he's got... He's got swordsmen, axemen, immortals, and archers. Very interesting. And I'm not the only person with elephants. Michael Lucas Smith has got some elephants.
Had a lot of years of peace with BT, and a lot of years of tension with Dan. However, I see no reason to be an aggressor yet. He has nothing I want. He's not as powerful as me. He doesn't have the score as same as me. He doesn't have the tech. Well, actually, that's not true. I don't know about that. I would like to think he doesn't have the tech. I suppose I could say it's pretty Buddhism to BT. But I wouldn't want to give up all that culture I have that pushed out of his city. Dan's built the chicken pizza for fear of, well, my military, I guess. I guess he's forgotten that I can build catapults too.
He was looking more for a monarchy, which he hasn't got. I'm not trading my monarchy to him.
Chichen Itza will also be a great profit-generating wonder. That'd be great. Yes.
Now Dan Q's asking, what will I give him for animal husbandry? And I'm going to tell him, nothing. It's that simple.
Nothing. Okay. Animal husbandry and code of laws.
Now he's offering code of laws, which I'm already researching. I'm going to say the same thing. Nothing. I don't want animal husbandry because I don't need it.
I don't know. John's refusal to trade with me could have something to do with him in cahoots with Michael to get rid of me. Could be. I mean, Michael's on the front line of either of us.
Alright, I'm starting to get some serious espionage points now. Got a couple of courthouses. That'll start making a difference soon. Well, according to the foreign advisor, I'm not particularly friendly with anyone. I'm going to take the city of Beavertails off Dan, and city of Lookout, probably.
Unfortunately, my galley has showed that, unfortunately, I've got a very tiny bit of land on this Pangaea. It's not my fault. That's the way things happened. So I'm stuck here with only, basically, 1, 2, 3 cities. I could go to a fort down there in the bottom, which I might actually do that a bit after. And that will guarantee that area. So it's a very tiny bit of land, but I prefer to have continents. And also, on my area of the Pangaea, I don't have a lot of other natural resources. One of those things.
Now, how are we going with tech against BT? I said a bunch of things that I didn't have. Surely I'll know what Dan's got too, which is what I really need. I was chatting with someone. Me, apparently. Skype call. Why, hello.
Why, hello again.
What's up?
Would we be interested in a technology trade of some description?
Whoa. Gee, I don't know. I mean, we're actually -2 diplomatically. Actually, I'm -2 with BT as well. It looks like I dislike you equally. You both equally. Let's see, what do you got? You want to give me currency? I don't know, Dan. I don't see any real advantage to doing that at this point.
How about alphabet as well?
Well, I get that next turn, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no.
Okay. What about a return to open borders?
Okay, yeah, it's an interesting idea.
No Jewish missionaries again, no.
I've got a lot of military secrets and whatnot that I don't necessarily want to give away, though.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you had some war elephants or two.
Well, actually 2.5 of them, yeah.
Hmm.
Look, we need possibly some sort of token to go along with this deal.
All right. How about the 3 gold that is in my treasury?
That's it? That's all you've got? I was thinking maybe some fur and gems.
Fur?
Okay.
Have a good day, neighbor.
Bye.
It was interesting how Michael actually told me that he was minus 2 with John as well in terms of diplomatic relations. I'm not sure I would have done the same.
Now that's why you have the big-ass military, so you can push people around. Now I'm going to start sacking the crap out of him with my spies. See, power, very high, espionage. Ooh, Dan is higher than me. GNPM high, goods produced, Dan's slightly higher, food produced way higher, culture way higher. Don't want to waste any espionage points, but Dan is definitely playing the espionage game. Ah, Viking Revolt in Lunar Colony 1. I'd be interested to see if BT goes to war with me over that.
My northernmost town is building the pyramids, but unfortunately, I can't do anything about it because they want to go over to Michael Lucas Smith's little lifestyle, and I don't like that. But what can I do?
This is Dan's show of force, his set of immortals.
Religion. What is it, 42%? Mine's at 26, John's is at 12. 7% apiece for John on my second religion.
This is Dan's show of force, his set of immortals. It's a good time for me to build roads to Dan.
Third hour.
The only way at the moment is to stop Michael Lucas Smith's is to actually go out and take out his axemen and his northeastern town, which is encroaching on my territory, on my town. It's totally surrounded, basically. So I'm thinking maybe once I can finish with construction and get some longbowmen, I will go out and take out his town. Because he's got a lot more towns than I have, due to more land. Basically, they've got so much land, and I was given the arse end, and I've only got a very tiny little territory, which isn't fair.
I'm going to build a workboat and then gift it to Michael. Settle on his fish.
Dan was very desperate for the open borders, and he's trying not to do anything to compromise it by the looks of it. It's done. BT City just revolted over to me, and I disbanded it. I'm sure he won't be happy about that.
And looks like my town's gone. It got razed, so I'm just going to contact Michael Lucas Smith for a moment and find out what happened to the town.
Hello?
Hello.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
What happened? I looked away for the moment while I was building the other town. When I looked back, the other archer walked in and the town was gone. Totally razed.
They revolted. Tried to join my nation. And I said no.
So they just razed the city?
Yeah, they disbanded. They're gone.
Bastards!
Yes, not very good citizens at all.
That's why I was moving some extra troops into them to quieten them all down, and instead they raised their own town. Bugger, there goes the bloody fucking pyramids.
Was the pyramids in there?
We were working on the pyramids.
Ah. Well, you got plenty of room, so I wouldn't be too worried about it. You and Dan have plenty of room. Dan's got more room than me, sorry, than you. But, yes, that was interesting. I wasn't going to keep the city, that's for sure, because it's too close to class. That was that for, what was it called?
DS9.
No, DS9's still there.
Oh, no, what was that one?
It was obviously a very memorable city. Ah, Lunar Colony 1. Such a memorable city that you didn't even know their name, and you wonder why they revolt.
We're waiting for John to hit done. Don't know what's taking so long.
Oh, by the way, his lordship, Daniela, quick. Daniel, quickness. He wanted to offer me animal husbandry for monarchy, and I said, no way.
And then he said, would you like Code of Laws as well? I said, no way, fuck me, dude.
Isn't it worth it at that point?
It's not worth it, no. Not fancy offering animal husbandry for monarchy. Does he really think I'm stupid?
But with Code of Laws, it's probably worth it.
No, because we were still researching Code of Laws.
Have you got it now?
Oh, yeah. Not only did they revolt, they actually razed the city. And I thought, f*** that. That is disgusting from my perspective. They had to go and do that. So that means that I've lost out on all that extra gold. I didn't get it back. They just destroyed everything.
So I guess I don't have good relationships with anyone. Was that true? We made that deal with Dan. Let's have a look. Still cautious with Dan. About even with BT. Let's pump up this espionage output. Not like Dan doing that. A bit disconcerting. Ah, so he did build another city. Torsetti. So he has three cities now. Positioned in a way that it's hard for him to get other cities. That's fair enough. That's what BT does. Better check on the military power. Dan is trying to creep up, but not really. So the gap between me and Dan is the gap between Dan and BT when it comes to military power. BT's Bill Spearman, maybe he's realised that I am actually his neighbour, he can't fight Dan, and I'm not being very nice to him. The beautiful thing is I can probably start breaking that don't spread the religion rule as soon as I get theocracy. I can't spread it to BT. BT is theocratic, but I can spread it to Dan. And I guess I will, as soon as I can.
So since I'm now only down to three cities, what I shall be doing now is increasing military might.
Okay, I'm theocratic now, so I'm not scared of Dan's guys. Persian people have trained the largest force of swordsmen units. Oh. That means he's got, six swordsmen? That explains why he's building all those swordsmen. His swordsmen now has shock and first strike.
We're shortly going to be crossing over into Daniel's territory, have a good sticky nose around and see what he's got. And then I'm going to start building up some troops. I might even ask Michael Lucas Smith if he'd like to join me in taking out Daniel. I think, why not? He deserves it.
Okay, so who's producing the mass espionage now?
Me. Ahead of Dan.
Okay, message. On behalf of the Persian people, please accept this gift. A worker boat. Oh, boy. How do the Persians take... How do the Vikings take that, I wonder? Was that chat to everyone or to me? That was directly to me. On behalf of the Viking people, please accept our religion. I guess that's what my message is going to be. Dan's probably wondering what he's going to do about my hypocritical move here to spread Buddhism into his city. Upon its spread to our capital, we shall. What the? He doesn't want to fight me? I guess if Dan swaps to my religion, I'll go capture BT and that'll pretty much be game.
Now, we've just entered one of our warriors into Daniel Quick's territory to have a sticky beak. And then he's going to go around and hopefully find out what's under the shroud. Find out how many towns he's actually got in there. So, we can see one. I can see two at least. And he's got more under the shroud. I don't know how many more, but we're going to go searching. Hopefully he'll let us do it.
Dan keeps building these immortals. They're really pretty shit. His war elephants have got plus 50% against mounted units, and these immortals don't fight back against the elephants. So I don't know what he thinks is going. Oh, Dan is trying to contact me. Wonder what about? He wants to trade wine. Our people do not believe in alcohol. Goodbye.
Daniel Q's just tried to offer me. I say, yes, madam. And he wants to know if I can give him, what will I give him, some wine? Well, he wants to offer me some wine, I'll offer him some corn, and we'll see how we go.
The question then becomes, is Dan building feudalism so to defend himself? He can stop pandering to me. I'm getting close to beating the 2,000 points mark. We've got a mixed build-up of troops in BT cities, like normal. Axeman, Watcher, Axeman, Spearman, Archer, Warrior. Axeman, Watcher, Spearman, Archer, Archer. Looks like my espionage points are paying off against BT. I can see his capital now. There we go, we've got Buddhism in his capital. And one more Buddhist missionary coming along for his last city of Ironside. We shall see if he lives up to his end of the bargain and swaps over. Wow, he did. We loves our brothers of the faith, I said to him.
Now, notice that Daniel Quick has converted to Buddhism, and I don't know why.
My military must be going up again with these berserkers. Apostoli Plus might allow me to win. So look, my religion, is it 50% of the world? 61%. Yes, Apostolic Plus would allow me to win by vote.
Ah! Now, Daniel's now found under the shroud. We found two extra towns, so here's five towns.
BT is trying to contact me. What's he want? Hello?
Hello.
So what was that about, the chat?
Did you want to form an alliance to take him out?
Well, he's Buddhist. Why would I want to take him out? You, on the other hand, you're not Buddhist. You're Hindi.
Why can't we take him out?
I like him. He's Buddhist.
That shouldn't make a difference. He's a pretend Buddhist because he was a Jew before.
He's seen the light. It's all good now. Because you guys are in the dark ages with this Hindi stuff. Tell you what.
So, how are we going to proceed? If we all become Buddhist, what the hell are we going on with the game?
Well, you can vote me as diplomatic leader.
Alright.
Bye. It's like a diplomatic resolution is in hand. See if Dan votes me into the Apostolic Palace. Dan voted for me, I voted for me, I've got 130 votes. Now, how many votes do I need to win a religious diplomatic victory? Resolutions. Apostolic Palace diplomatic victory, 190, and I've got 130 to my name, so that should mean I can win. So, did BT renounce theocracy? If I can't vote a victory for myself, then it's war. So as soon as the apostolic vote comes in, I should be able to win. My religion, Buddhism, controls 68% of land. Dan's researching civil service. BT's researching divine right. Interesting. Religious leader, diplomatic victory. Me. 114 votes required. We shall see. Give Dan a call. I hope I can count on your vote in this election.
I already voted for you.
That probably wraps the game, honestly.
That's what I was thinking as soon as I saw that come up.
If it is, I can't wait to talk about the retrospect. It is! Woohoo! Diplomatic victory, yes. Through religion!
Michael Lucas Smith has won a diplomatic victory! Because we all voted for him!
Let's bring BT into the call.
Hello.
Good game all.
Ah, fancy that. Very interesting game.
Yeah, Dan put up a little bit of a military muscle flex earlier on in the game and never did it again. BT actually had Ivory Dan.
Yes, I know he did. Eventually I found out that he did.
Ah, yes.
And it was, I backed down on the military when Michael beat me to the ivory. There was a moment, actually, where I was contemplating settling on the ivory. I was a bit surprised you hadn't settled a little closer, Michael, at first, seeing as how then it would be within your cultural borders right away.
The reason why was I could settle on a hill, which I did, so I had the defense for an area that I knew was going to be in a military strategic point and could involve a fair bit of conflict. And when you withdrew, you started moving troops north, so I figured, okay, so you're going after my other set of resources, which are in play right now. And the other reason was the position that I put it in gave me access to cow, stone, and the elephant once the city had grown.
Ah.
That made it a very powerful city. In fact, it was, you know, it was my third most powerful city out of the four.
And I was going to do it, and then I thought, at that point, we were closer in power. I think we were pretty well even at that point, or I was a little more powerful than you at that point early on. And I decided not to do that. You had spearmen at that point.
Yes, combat level 2 spearmen, 3 of them, yeah. In fact.
I figured you would have taken that as an extremely aggressive act, and war would have likely been imminent.
And you wouldn't have had bronze, so that would have been a bad move on your part. See, I actually settled it. You remember that game we played where I spent most of the game with Mackie defending on the hills and etc., and the entire war was losing the war, but held you off for a long time? Well, the mistake I made in that game was not going for the bronze, right? So this time I decided I'd go for the bronze. I went for the bronze, you went for the bronze. Subsequently, I was able to defend with spearmen, because I knew you had horse in your borders, which I did not, and you had immortals, because of your unique unit.
Right, as the Persians.
So, yeah, my goal was to get powerful spearmen, so I went straight for the bronze, and I couldn't really conceive that you would think that you'd be able to get away with settling on the ivory, because it was so far away from you.
Yes, I knew that my ability to defend that once settled would be highly questionable.
Uh-huh. And not at all useful for a very long time.
That's correct. That was the other thing. I'm like, well, this is pretty early in the game, so am I going to survive that long to even get that technology if I do that? Because you would be closer to the ivory, and...
Well, I'm surprised you didn't. I mean, after you backed down from that military fight, you never ramped up again. You probably should have preemptively struck before I started getting elephants and stuff with catapults. Because as soon as I did that, my military strength doubled. And you just kept pumping out these piddly little 4-power immortals.
Well, the idea behind those was not so much, obviously, their strength only being 4, but strength in number, strength in speed, and then the hope of being able to, if the game was going to last that long, to be able to get knights. It was a little later on that I started adding some more swordsmen, and I had just a couple of spearmen and a couple of axemen. And as far as the catapults comment went, I didn't have catapults for a while. I was really, really annoyed that it took me as long as it did to get my great prophet for my religion. Would have helped my science and would have helped me to get to catapults faster. But by the time I had catapults, I could tell through the espionage that you'd already had construction for some time. And so I built a few catapults mainly for defense. Part of me regrets not just seeing what would have happened if I had used my immortals early on and went for it, because I was in, I'm just checking the info screen here, I was in the power lead for a little while, but wasn't a particularly aggressive player, knowing that through the diplomatic means that we had, that wasn't the only way to win. Not every player thinks like I do. So when you closed borders after I put the Jewish missionary in there, the only thing I would have done differently was I would have asked before I moved it. And then if you had said no, then, well, that would have been fine. Open borders would have remained, and I just would have sent him to one of my cities. Since we really usually getting to the point of what did we learn in this game, that was probably either the first or second thing I learned. And then the first thing I learned was actually take a chance with the military. I may or may not do that next time. We never know, but...
Yes, and the road that you built to reinforce your attempted control of the elephants was very cheeky as well. So I destroyed that. Yeah, I was definitely in a cold war with you. My people didn't like you that much, and then when you brought the missionary in, that was like, okay, that's a good excuse, close borders.
Yep.
Because we were building up our military, and we didn't really want you to see it. I gave both of you ample opportunity to hate me a lot, to want to go to war with me, but that never that never came into fruition. I raised one of BT's cities through culture.
Yes, I was very disappointed about that. I was looking down the bottom of the screen, next thing you know, bang, they're gone. They revolted.
Oh.
They didn't want Michael's love and affection. He said, oh, no, go away, go away. And next thing you know, they raised their own town. So thus we lost the pyramids because we're halfway through the pyramids building.
You wouldn't even get gold for that either, would you?
No. I've got nothing. The bastards.
Actually, when the game ended, I was 4 turns away from the pyramids.
Yes, I was 5, but I was going to whip it, so I probably would have beat you.
I was watching, and I was like, as soon as I can whip the pyramids, I'm going to, because I'm going to be really pissed if I missed it by a turn. And I could have whipped it that turn that you won. But when the victory came up, I went, well, if the election fails, I was like, I would have done it.
So later on in the game, I started rebuilding in my capital city. So, but you were definitely ahead of me. It's okay. It's one of those things.
I realized pretty early on that with Dan's aggressive spreading of his cities up along the to the north there, basically cutting off a section of the island for himself, that the only way I was going to have a chance here was to push the culture borders as far as I could so that if he did decide to attack me or anything like that, he would have a fair few turns to get to my cities. And I could steal back some of this land that he'd taken. And that worked completely. I own a lot of the land, despite having only 4 cities.
Yes, I had my 6th one on the last second last turn. I was only slightly ahead of you in land area. The last time I checked, I don't know, about 10-15 turns before the game was over, I had 98,000 square miles, and you had like 92.
You've got 101,000 square miles, and I've got 91,000 square miles. Yeah. And BT has 48,000 square miles.
I feel that I was stuck there. I was isolated because I only had a small landmass on this Pangaea.
You had more room than me, but the way you positioned your cities, you didn't really get the best out of it.
No. I prefer continents to play on, long, huge continents with lots of spaces. Bit of a challenge on Pangaea.
So I was looking forward to a giant war with you, Dan, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, so was I. I really was. My military were itching to go up and have a go at you, mate.
Oh, you would have lost, BT. Dan was trying to compete with me militaristically, so, yeah, you didn't really have a chance against him.
Well, we were aiming for a maceman.
Yes, I got berserkers there now, and I moved my army next to your borders, BT, in case you decided to ignore what I was saying about the religion. So, yeah, Dan, you were pushing the espionage higher than... Did you move it up to 10% or something at some point? Because, yeah, you started producing espionage before me, so...
No, I had spies in my cities.
Right. Well, I didn't, so I pumped up my espionage, and you can see it on the graph. Whereas you took off, and I was on same par with BT, and then suddenly I start going up and up and up and up, and that's where I pushed the 10% espionage and courthouses and stuff like that. So I guess I needed to actually build some spies.
I had spies in my 3 largest cities, and I had courthouses in 3 or 4 of my cities, and really, I had no intention of moving the spies in that game. I thought about moving it into John's territory, but he was on the other side of the continent. I thought about putting one on a galley and sending it over there, because there was absolutely no way I was going to put a spy, even have a spy going through your territory to get the John's, because I thought, sure enough, it'll get captured.
And that'll give me the excuse that I was looking for to attack you.
Exactly, and I'm like, that's a fool's errand. And after you closed the borders on there, I waited and a little bit, and I saw an opportunity to take a northern city that had 2 fur. And I thought, I will demonstrate to my next-door neighbor that we apologize, that we didn't realize that that would offend in the way that it did. And so I did that, and then also as another token, I gifted you that fishing boat so you could settle that fish, not that you ever did, but that's why I did that.
You were hoping that, I knew you were waiting for that square to flip, and you settled there thinking you would get that fish, But my culture was just too strong, and the entire time that city was up there, it was devoid of food because it never got the fish. So I was, when you gave me the fishing boat, I figured, oh, he thinks it's going to be pretty funny if I settle the fish and then it flips over. So I decided I wouldn't settle it just in case it did flip over. And then I thought, hey, you know what? He's gifting stuff. Since I made this big hoo-ha about religion earlier on in the game, I'm going to go back on that and gift him my religion.
Now, if I had been able to get my shrine earlier on, and my economy hadn't been so bad, well, with the military power, I still might have converted to Buddhism. But when you spread it to the first city, and then you asked me, you know, to convert, my response was, well, I will once it's spread to our capital, because I would want the benefit of being an organized religion and have Buddhism in that city.
So that's really interesting. If you'd managed to spread to me, but that's why I went to Theocracy when we got the open borders, so that you couldn't, I would have said no, I wouldn't have converted. You know, even if you were slightly more powerful than me, I still would have said no. It's funny how amenable to these things some people are in certain situations.
Yes. The only trade John and I had, John was not interested in a tech trade early on. I tried, and it was just...
Definitely not.
I tried again. He's like, nothing. And so then he just hung up on me. So the only trade that came after that, when I offered Michael the wine, all I was really looking for was like a gold or two a turn or something. I liked your response that your people did not believe in alcohol.
Yeah,
I slapped.
We're Buddhists.
I do.
We're Buddhists, so we don't drink.
That was the only trade agreement we have with John, other than open borders. We had open borders pretty well once we met, because I realized early on in the game, if I want to meet John, he's on the other side, I've got to go through Michael's territory.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the benefits. And I used my scout to scout out his territory. When Open Borders came back, gave you fur, you asked for fur and gems, and I said, how about fur? And you accepted that, plus the 3 gold that I had in my treasury.
I was trying to insult you again, but, you know, I was quite happy to have no deal because I had the military at that point. So I figured, you know, if I've got the military power, you've got the land power. So I may as well push you around and see if you respond, which you did. And if you didn't, then that would give me another excuse to hate you and eventually go to war with you, but it didn't turn out that way.
Well, no. I know you're a reasonable player, Michael, and I know that all I was thinking of, don't give Michael an excuse to be annoyed.
You've done that pretty well this entire game. There were so many opportunities where I was deliberately testing you to see if you would give me a reason. And you never did. And you never did. That's like that other game we played where you failed the diplomacy completely. You completely succeeded in diplomacy this game, because no matter how much of a Viking bastard I was to you, you appeased me. You know, it's like playing on the prince level and the prince demanding this, and you have to say yes, otherwise he invades you. It was exactly that, and you succeeded. I was following our diplomacy rules and looking at the foreign advisor as well. And for a big chunk of the game, I was -2 against both of you. I didn't like either of you as far as our rules, you know, went. And then at some point I did a trade with BT and I became neutral with him, right? So you were still the enemy, Dan. That's why I never invaded BT, although invading BT could have happened at any point. You were right. The bigger enemy, right? I always had a bigger army than BT. I could have stomped all over him at pretty much any point. But we had reasonable relations compared to the relations with you that had started off with an early almost war and then closed borders, religious incident, and, you know, all these little things that had added up to, no, Dan is actually the bigger enemy here. And it only changed in near the end when you became Buddhist. It's like, okay, well, at this point, there's no reason for me to hate Dan. And, oh, and this guy next to me, he just happens to not be Buddhist, so...
Yes, I was thinking now I wouldn't have minded invading Daniel, and I'm thinking, now shall I get Michael to help me in the lovely little war? And he said no, because he's my best mate now. He's converted to Buddhism.
It was too late. You were too late. He was Buddhism, so it's like, no, he's all good now. And by the way, it's not between us. So here's my giant army on your border. Become Buddhist or else.
Well, I thought about that. I thought, now, those two have turned to Buddhism, and both of them are Buddhism, and I'm not. I thought they might just turn around and invade me. So I thought, let's just join them instead. That'll save a war.
Well, actually, if we had been at war, then the option for a diplomatic victory wouldn't have popped up. And if you'd become my vassal, then there would be no way to have a diplomatic victory because you need 3 parties.
No, I didn't really want to become your vassal. I'd rather be an ally than a vessel, if you can help it that way.
Well, I think that's a natural feeling.
So my score was 30,912, finished in 1440 AD. It was a very sedate sort of game in that respect. I think if I'd pressed militarily much earlier on, the game would have ended a lot sooner. I think I could have dominated BT very early on and then come over and done some real damage to Dan, and then eventually come back for a second round and finished you off. But we're playing with the diplomacy rules, and I think I was still being more peaceable than I should have, considering the relations we'd had in the early game, Dan.
So it goes court show early on in the game. What do you, for people listening to this podcast, what do you build first? Do you build up your military first? Do you, or do you expand with,
Well, you've got to be able to defend yourself. Libraries.
Yes, that's right, yes.
So I went for the ability to defend myself against a neighbor who had started moving units right near my capital towards a resource which I knew strategically was going to be important to me. So I had a neighbor who was aggressive, so I had to focus on defense.
Yeah, it really is kind of a balance. I mean, yes, you want to be able to expand, but as Michael was saying, you don't want to expand to the point where you're unable to defend yourself and you've stretched your military too thinly, because if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to expand, I'm going to have all these great cities, well, they could be great cities. They're not great cities once they are founded. So your cities need time to be able to mature. You need to have time to improve the land, and you need to have the ability to defend that while that's happening, let alone going on the offensive.
Yeah.
And, of course, also watching your economy. That's... Calling today! In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659.
That's 44-121-288-POLY.
You can Skype us at the Polycast.
Or email us at polycast@apolton.net.
For more information on Polycast,
our sibling shows Modcast and Revcast,
or about Polycast in general,
log on to the series official website at polycast.apolton.net.
And that's Play by Play for the 1st of March.
I can't help not playing these songs. They're just so...
I like that.
I assume about now Dan's explaining the scenario. So I'm going to pass on that for now and eat some chips.
Waiting for other civilizations. This is a problem when you're playing multiplayer with others. Sometimes there's a bit of a lag. And sometimes there isn't, so... Because also some people are a little bit slow at pressing that enter button.
Dan's on a one tile island.
We're all on islands at the moment, and the Daniel Quick is very, very upset.
And I started on a one tile island. No...
Of course, Dan Q's always sometimes a bit slow at pressing that enter button. Sometimes we wait for such a long time. Yes, there's some sort of tradition over there in Dutch land, in Holland, where all the people playing Civ 4 have to wear their clogs. But I think Walter takes it on himself to drink beer and his clogs and walk around naked. Oh,
how about a little bit of music? Probably won't get recorded, so no point doing that.
Yes, here we are waiting for Dan Q again. He's always slow. I'd like to know what he does when he's sitting there. I think he's out talking to himself again. Now, Daniel Quick's named one of his town Outlook. I wonder if that's a... in reference... that he likes Microsoft's Outlook Express. I wonder, we shall ask him that after the game. One of these days I'll be hosting Polycast as a special. Won't that be good? And have fun with that Imran Siddiqui on a challenging to a game while we're actually recording Polycast. I think we'll get Katamandra and Makalua to join in with me 3-1. Sounds good to me.
Look out for that future episode coming up on Polycast.
I wonder when Dan's going to edit all this stuff together.
Record dates February 28th to March 1st, 2009. Civilization 4, Warlords and Beyond the Sword sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright 2009, Poulton Civilization site at apoulton.net.